Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, mainland. Good morning, Hawaii. I'm Randy Bruner, Cosmic Hand. You're tuned to It's About Time on the Jewel Network, where we're justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. Jewel Network is the radio frequency of continuous streaming, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self in an evolving planetary society. We're hosted on blogtalkradio.com, where you listen to us on the internet, but you can also listen to us over the phone. That number is 347-215-9531. It's About Time, where we explore the difference between artificial time and natural time. So stay tuned for It's About Time. In La Cache Planetary Can, it's your host, Randy Bruner, Cosmic Can, back from a medical leave for It's About Time. Thanks for hanging with us during my hiatus. Yes, I have been down pretty bad, but I'm back. I'm feeling much better now. Back to resuming live shows of It's About Time. And this will be our first show with co-host Maurice. Thanks for sitting in with us and handling the background information.
My pleasure, welcome back.
Thanks for handling it while I was gone. Jeez, I really appreciate that, man.
No problem. You know, that's what we do here, and it's, you know, as much excitement there is, as there is about this calendar, there's a lot of great information. You've already been very efficient and fluent in sharing with us, so people really enjoy the encore presentations, and I'm pretty sure they're even going to be more so excited about having you right back with us. So welcome back, Randy.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And all those listeners out there tuning in or calling in or coming into the chat room, you might want to let your other people know that, yes, I am back. I didn't pass over to the other side. Still going on here, keeping up with It's About Time. So what I'd like to share with everybody today, now that we're back to live shows, is the movement from the lunar moon into the electric moon. And I said on one of my last shows, during the lunar moon, that, you know, the aspect of the challenge of the lunar moon was a question that a lot of people had about, ooh, the lunar moon, you know, what is that challenge about? Does that make it difficult? And I sort of downplayed the power of the challenge, in that show, talking about how the challenge really was to remember, something. But in truth, just after that show, I was significantly challenged on very, very different levels. You know, I was taken out physically. It took me weeks to recover from, an infection that I got. And my computer was taken down. So my show and the blog and everything came down. And so that was my challenge for the lunar moon. Very strange and interesting because I'm a lunar moon baby. In other words, my birthday falls in the lunar moon. My solar birthday falls in the lunar moon. And have really never been challenged during the lunar moon in that kind of way. So it is just interesting for me to look at that particular aspect and go, wow, there's a challenge for you, and take this challenge, take that challenge. So, like I say, it's entirely possible, because it happened to me, to find yourself challenged during the time of the lunar moon. My challenge was to keep going. and to move forward with the healing, and then come back and redo the blog page and the calendar and so on. So it's very interesting to me to go through that kind of challenge. So, like I said, it was a first for me to have that kind of challenge come to me during the lunar moon. And so, during the lunar moon, of course, you missed several blog entries about the lunar moon. I hope everyone who's following the calendar found other ways to connect. Of course, there are other ways to connect. The PhotonNet connection is always there. You can dial up the day every day if you go to that. And that is linked on my personal host page where it says obtain your galactic signature. When you click on that, it takes you right to what the energy of the day is today. And then from that, you go and enter your birth date to find your own galactic signature. But that's a way to find the day every day if my blog doesn't come up, or if I have my computer go down and I can't update my blog. So anyway, a couple weeks in the lunar moon possibly challenged you to stay with the turning of the days and find another way to participate in that, because my blog wasn't there for you. And thankfully, of course, now my computer is back and I'm pretty much healed, so we're back to normal. You'll find the first week of the electric moon up on my blog page, so we're going to resume it as it has been all along. So you can log into the blog and find the first week and the energies of the day for each of the days of the first week. And there is also a link to the electric moon calendar page on there if you want to pull up the whole calendar page and look at it, or you can look at just the week written out like I normally do. So yeah, right, my host page is on the jewelnetwork.com. Then you can click on the show hosts, click on my page, and it takes you right to my page where you can click on that, or click on my blog right through my host page. That'll get you in there. So yeah, that's what I've been dealing with for the past few weeks, and like I say, it's interesting to have to go through something like that after talking about the aspects of the lunar moon not necessarily being a difficulty as far as the challenge goes. But now that we've passed the lunar moon, maybe we are past the challenges. We're on into the electric moon, and the electric moon's energy is the electric moon of service, and service to others, service to the bigger process, service to yourself and others as well. And the power of the electric moon is to activate, and then the action of the electric moon is to bond. And so during the electric moon, that's what we're focusing on, the power of service, our power to activate, or action to bond. And during the 28 days of the electric moon, how can I best serve is the question to ask. How can I best serve? And we are today in the White Planetary World Ruger day. This is day two of the electric moon. Every moon this year, this red overtone moon year, is going to start on a Monday, okay, instead of Sunday like they did last year. And the reason for that is that the calendar always starts on July 26th, because That is the day that the brightest star in the sky rises along with the sun. Okay, when the sun comes up along with the brightest star in the sky, that is the beginning of the 13-moon, 28-day calendar. That is a cosmic event. It's time to a cosmic event. In other words, the sun during the course of the year moves against the background of the stars, and because there is a background of the stars, when the sun comes back around to be conjunct with the brightest star in the sky, that's the completion of one cycle. So that's why we time the calendar to begin that way, and the Maya utilized that as the beginning of their calendar, so that's what we've preserved in the modern 13-moon, 28-day calendar. So whatever day July 26th falls on is the day that the calendar begins. And it fell on a Monday this year, and so every moon starts on the same day of the week that the calendar actually starts on. Because there are perfect 28 days every moon, there's 4 perfect weeks for each moon, and 52 perfect weeks for the entire year, except for the one day, which is the day at a time. So each day coming in like this, we're giving you the energy of the day for today, as again, White Planetary World Bridger. I perfect in order to equalize. And so perfecting, equalizing. The World Bridger is one of the tribes that's somewhat hard to understand for people as well. And the World Bridger includes the power of death. And the power of death is what, scares people. Ooh, what's that mean, the power of death? Well, the power of death is the power of endings and beginnings. Death is not physical death, but it is death to something and beginning to something else, something new. And starting the show back up on this day is the opportunity. The power of death was having the show down for a few weeks, and now we're back up again, and that's the opportunity that comes from the perfection of the planetary tone. So the planetary tone perfects, and the World Bridger equalizes through the power of death. So again, it's not something to be afraid of or concerned about. When you, especially if you are a World Bridger tribe yourself, the power of death is the endings and beginnings that take place in your life. So for people who have World Bridger as their tribe, don't worry about the death aspect. It's really not what it's about. It's more about the aspect of beginnings and endings. Death is an ending, but it always paves the way for a new beginning. Ending of something always paves the way for a new beginning. So with the electric moon of service, like I said, you can go to the blog page and click on the electric moon header and pull up the page if you'd like to look at the page while we're talking about it on the air. And you can see that yesterday was a galactic activation portal. The beginning of the electric moon was the red solar serpent, which is a galactic activation portal day. And for those of you who are maybe new to this process, the galactic activation portal days are very special days within the cycle of 260. The cycle of 260 is the cycle of the glyphs and tones that you see on each day in the 13-moon calendar. There are 260 days that turn one day by day over and over and completely end and begin again continuously. In other words, there's no break in the days of the 260-day cycle. And we've overlaid that onto the 364 plus 1 days of the 13-moon calendar. And so within that 260-day calendar, 52 of those days are known as galactic activation portals. And what happens in that, if you look at, if you go to the photon.net/13moon page, you'll see a layout of the Zolkin in a linear grid. In other words, in the Mayan calendar and in the Mayan times and in their interpretations of the calendar, the Maya used time as cycles. In other words, circles, literally, were how they identified their calendar as in circles. What we've done is we've laid it out in weeks in a linear form to make it easier for you to conceptualize the changing of the calendar. The calendar looks kind of like the calendar you're used to, except that each of the moons is 4 perfect weeks. Each of them is harmonic. And when you see the layout that's presented on the photon.net page, you'll see the gray squares in that are the galactic activation portal days. Now, there isn't any real evidence that the Maya ever laid this out in a linear fashion. Okay, I've never found any, and I've looked continuously for something to indicate that. But in truth, this may be a modern interpretation of how the ancient Mayan calendar works, because within the layout of the 260, you can see that it's 13 columns of 20 tribes each. That again makes for 260 days. Within that, those 52 gray squares that are in there are identified as the galactic activation portals. And what you're seeing in that is actually a double helix spiral going around the center of the Zolkin. And you'll also notice that column number 7 is an open column. In other words, there are no galactic activation portals in that open column. So what that infers is a double helix spiral around an open center. Okay? For those of you who know about molecular structure and things of that nature, at our level of DNA, okay, in our molecules, in all of our cells, there's the root of our cells is the DNA. And so the DNA is actually based on a double helix spiral. That double helix spiral is actually closed in on itself. Because that's the way it is, it's not around an open center. And so with that aspect of the Zolkin, I think it's very possible that utilizing the Zolkin and utilizing natural sacred time is a template for allowing our DNA to expand to a double helix spiral, which spirals around an open center. In other words, the molecules that make up the DNA have the capability of spiraling around an open center. They don't necessarily have to be closed in on each other. And so when we look at the galactic activation portals, it's really a powerful aspect to the modern interpretation of the ancient Mayan calendar. And if you'll look at each of those, looking at it again, if you take the upper right-hand corner, upper left-hand corner, lower right-hand corner, lower left-hand corner, and you add those up together, you'll get 28. Okay? And so if you take the four quadrants that are all associated with each other in that same way as the outside four corners are, in other words, you move into the next one, and that's 9 wind and 1 wind, and then 13 storm and 5 storm, those numbers all add up to 28. This is how the galactic activation portals were determined. In other words, there's a code of 28 that is inherent in the cycle of the 13 times the 20. Okay, so 13 times 20 times 28 is all coded in there. And so that's another affirmation of the 28-day cycle and the 28-day aspect of the calendar that we're doing, is that that 28 days is actually inferred by the galactic activation portals inside of the linear version of the Zolk'in. And so those days, those galactic activation portal days, are days where there's an opening, or the multiple dimensional existence comes closer and closer to each other. In other words, the veil is thinnest at that point. When the veil is thinnest, then you can make better connections. In other words, synchronicity may become the norm on days that are like galactic activation portals. And so on those days, be aware and look for those kind of things. It's also possible that the galactic activation portal days are connected to each other psychically or spiritually. And something that begins on a galactic activation portal may be completed on a galactic activation portal, and so on. So I think that's... yeah. Yeah, feel free to jump in there anytime I say something that kind of gets too far out there for people. I don't want to do that.
Well, it is all right on time. I want to make sure, because it is about time. I just want to make sure that just for anybody that was just coming in, to understand and know that they are listening to It's About Time with our esteemed host, Randy Cosmic Hand Bruner, on the Jewel Network, Justifiably Enchanted with Enlightened Living, being broadcast to you via blogtalkradio.com. And I don't want to hold you up because you were really laying it down. I do have a question about the galactic activation portals.
Sure.
When we look at it, we see that there are some, for example, one was yesterday, and there's some that are 2 days apart, some that are 4 days apart. There are a couple of stretches where there are 10 back to back. So what's going on with the way that, with the power and the impact of the way that they end up being laid out, and as we traversed and endured our days between one portal to another portal?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, there's two. Today we're in between two of them. Yesterday was one. Today and tomorrow isn't, but the following day is. So yeah, we're right in between gap days here with just a 2 day break between them. But like I said, you also notice that in the central column number 7, that entire column has no gap days, and that's 20 days. So in fact, there's 5 days before that and 5 days after that. So in the middle of the Zolkin, there's actually 30 days that have no galactic activation portals in them. But when what you do is you got 10 of them in a row before you enter that 30 days, and then when you come out of the 30 days, you got 10 in a row again. So 10 in a row is a really intense time period for everyone who's already activated in the calendar, and for the people who are just coming in and are becoming activated in it. Those 10 days in a row really can show you how synchronicity works and what the aspects of natural time flow really is. But when you say, oh, well, there's this space and there's that space in between the days, that's best described by looking at the overall Zolkin and thinking of it in terms of that double helix spiral rather than it being this day, that day, and the next day. In other words, in the calendar that we do, they're coded as green squares in the calendar that we have and produce for people. They're coded as green squares so you can see that they're coming or that we've just passed one and so on. But the aspect of going through the central column and having 10 gap days on either side, that's the most intense period. Okay, there are only two other places where gap days are back-to-back, and that's at the spectral dog and lunar dog and then crystal monkey and electric monkey. Those are the only place where 2 days in a row actually fall as gap days. Those 10 gap days probably is enough, you know, for back-to-back gap days. But the point is, it spirals within the sacred calendar. In other words, I guess that's really what I would like for people to get from this and to understand about it, is that within the turning of the sacred calendar, those days actually form a spiral which mimics us at our molecular level, at our DNA level. And that also connects us to the source, which is available through the open central column. In other words, the source of life, the source of light, and all of that comes into our being through that open central column. And when we tune in to the gap days as connected to each other, and then we tune in during the time of the open center, even more inviting aspects of natural time occur during that open center. We're spiraling around that with the galactic activation portals, and they come in, they come out. But like I said, the magic of the numbers is what's so interesting and cool about it, is that this galactic activation portals infer the number 28. In terms of the tones, I suppose I should explain that a little bit more to people. What I'm talking about, you know, with the upper corners and the lower corners, which you can see if you're looking at the PhotonNet page, you see a one dot next to the dragon tribe. Then on the other corner, you see a bar and two dots. Okay, that is seven. Okay, one dot is one, a bar and two dots is seven. So a bar is five, and the dots are one each. Okay, so this is the Mayan numerical notation system, okay, that we're talking about. So going down to the Sun tribe at the bottom, you'll see a bar and two dots, and then two bars and three dots. So the two bars and three dots is what? 13. Two bars of five and then three dots, 5, 10, 3 dots, 13. So the 7 is there with the sun. So basically what I'm saying is if you add 13 plus 7 plus 7 plus 1, you get 28. And that's what we call a quartet of energies. Okay, so as you can see, if you look, that each of the galactic activation portals is in a quartet similar to that. In other words, when you take the quartets, you will find that they all add up to be 28. So that's really how that was discovered and really why 28 is utilized in there. And back-to-back days of gap days, yeah, there's only a couple of periods like that. 2 periods of 2 and 2 periods of 10. Otherwise, there's breaks in between like that. So did that answer your question, or did I dance around it too much?
No, I think that really pointed out the importance to it. This is really something. And for those that can't see what you talked about, one thing that's interesting is how it goes up to 13 and then starts back over at 1. So most you'll see is 2 bars with 3 dots, and then it'll start right back over with the 1 dot.
Exactly.
I'm going to take in addition of lots learned. What are the symbols on the side?
Oh, the symbols on the side, those are the solar tribes, and the dot barcodes are referred to as the galactic tones. In other words, from the perspective of the Maya, there is a cycle of 20 and a cycle of 13. And as you noted, the cycle of 13 starts at 1, goes through 13, and then goes back to 1 again. That's a completely continuous turning cycle of 1 through 13. The same occurs with the symbols on the side, which are the solar tribes. So their essence was that the energy of the 20, the energy of the solar tribes, is coming to us from the sun. The energy of the 13 is coming to us from the galaxy. And these are cycles that are continuously turning along with each other. In other words, when you get from, let's start at the top. The red symbol at the top there is the dragon symbol. Then it's dragon, wind, night, seed, serpent, world bridger, hand, star, moon, dog, monkey, human, Skywalker, wizard, eagle, warrior, earth, mirror, storm, sun. Okay? And you can also go to my blog page, and under the basic 13 moon calendar primer is all those symbols and explaining how they have certain keywords that go with them and the tones as well. So that's available for your independent study on my blog page. And I would suggest everyone who's coming in new to this, look at those pages, read them, download them, whatever, because that's a valuable bit of information that is background to getting you in natural time or in touch with natural time. Because in the cycle of the 20, it goes the same way. In other words, when it goes from dragon all the way to sun, the yellow tribe there at the bottom, then it goes right back to dragon again, the red one again, and it goes right back through sun again and starts over. So the same way that the 1 through 13 goes back to 1 right after 13, the tribes go back to dragon right after the sun. So that gives us a complete ever turning cycle. And so we take 13 times the 20, and that gives gives us the 260-day cycle, meaning that all the different permutations that there are between the dot barcode of 1 through 13 and the symbol code of dragon through sun are coded into that little grid that you see on the Foundation for the Law of Time, the 13 Moon on photon.net, excuse me. And so, yeah, if you aren't at your computer or can't look at that, it's worth going online and looking at. You can refer to this, and of course you can listen to the show as an archive if you're at your computer, and then go to the page that we're talking about. And that's the same with my blog page. You can go to my blog page and look at that if you're not at your computer now while we're doing the show live. And so, yeah, if you pull up the blog page, then you can see at the top the basic 13 moon calendar primer. Then under that is the 20 tribes and 13 tones. So that takes you directly to the page that describes sort of the meaning of each of those symbols and the meaning of each of those dot barcodes. And it's a good thing to have that information in your head, okay? I put up my blog and tell you what the energy of the day is for each day, so that you can get in there and participate without too much effort. But the more effort you put in, the more beneficial it is to you and the easier it is for you to start the flow. Because what we're talking about here on the Jewel Network is growing our brain. I mean, that is one of the primary functions here on the Jewel Network. It's to grow our brains, to learn more, to make new neural connections. And that's what we're talking about with this calendar. Making those new neural connections will really bring your brain power to another level that you really haven't ever experienced before. Once you learn what those 20 symbols are, when you look at that symbol and it says something to you, that is creating new neural pathways. Now, we're not talking about something that's like going back to college or anything like that. We're just talking about some basic, kind of like memorizing process. You look at that symbol and you say, oh, that's dragon, and you know, the dragon nurtures with the power of birth and being. So, you know, we're only talking about learning a few words and what a few symbols stand for or mean or look like. And it's the same with the tones, the one dot, the two dot, the three dot, the four dot. Each of those has its own name and its own meaning, again, which is important to look at, and when you memorize something like that, memory is creating new neural pathways in your mind. And memorizing stuff like that allows you to grow inside your brain. Now, what happens, and you know, we talked about this early in the beginning of It's About Time, back last spring, and what we talked about was what has happened with the current calendar that everyone is using, that's been imposed on us, and what's available with natural time. Because the calendar that we're using now is imposed on us, and it actually is a calendar of conquering. But it was imposed on everyone that it's been imposed on at the end of a sword by the Roman Empire. In fact, we still celebrate the Roman Empire by utilizing July and August because they're named after Julius and Augustus. So I ask people, you know, why are we still celebrating the Roman Empire when, in fact, natural time is much more real and much more beneficial than the calendar that we're currently utilizing. So what has happened with that is that people have been taken out of time, that the calendar that we have imposed on us today doesn't give us any connection to time. It's all fake. It's all made up. Now, what we're talking about with natural time here is time that is an observable phenomenon in nature. Okay? This isn't made up. This is very real. What is made up is the calendar that we utilize and is imposed on us that says today is, you know, September 21st.
It is amazing. I mean, as new as some people might be to this, it's inherently easy. There is July 26th. That's a pretty, when the sun is in Sirius. That's pretty easy. It makes perfect sense as opposed to Janus, celebration of Janus in the dead of winter, which never made any sense to me personally coming up to have a year that started in the midst of the quote-unquote dead season, or the unseen growth season, I'll say.
Exactly. And you know, that's a common thought with lots of people. Lots of people just couldn't grasp that. I was one of them. You know, why not make it, if we're talking about time, why not make it a cosmic event? I mean, when we're referring to the beginning of the year, I mean, some people and some tribes still utilize the beginning of spring as the beginning of their calendar. But then again, that is also tied to a cosmic event. Although that cosmic event is variable, in other words, it doesn't fall on the same day of the year every year. Okay, like for example, typically you would think the equinox would be today, the 21st of September, but in fact it's tomorrow. Now, the winter solstice and the summer solstice, I believe they do fall on the same day, the 21st of December and the 21st of June. But I believe it is the equinoxes that are variable. So that is why utilizing the great cosmic event of the brightest star in the sky and the sun, it makes complete sense to me. If you're going to time the sun's movement in the sky, well, actually, we're timing the Earth's movement around the sun, but from the perspective of the Earth, it appears that the sun moves against the background of the stars, when in fact we're moving around the sun, and it just makes our view from the Earth appear that the sun is moving against the background of the stars. But the reality is, they knew what the brightest star in the sky was, and they knew what the planets were to separate them out from the brightest star in the sky. So to me, that always made sense from the beginning on that. And if you don't know, January 1st it was decided because during December, they had what they called Saturnalia, and Saturnalia is the 3-week party which the Romans would always have, and they said, well, let's give us a week after Saturnalia and then we'll start the year. I mean, that's the concept, you know, that they ended the year with a big party and a 1 week rest, and then they start the year over again. I mean, there's no reality to deciding on January 1st other than Julius Caesar's arbitrary decision that that's when it was going to be. you know. And we're still, you know, it's still imposed on us. You know, we still celebrate it. Wow, New Year's Day. You know, but, you know, it is interesting, though, in the 13-moon calendar, that both Christmas and New Year's Day are the 13th and the 20th of the rhythmic moon. 13 and 20 are the sacred numbers, of course, in the Mayan calendar, and both Christmas and New Year's Day fall on the 13th and the 20th of that particular moon. So, I mean, if we did want to continue playing with those times, they could still be, you know, sacred times. You know, 13 and 20 are sacred numbers. You know, I mean, we don't have to eliminate anything.
But there's no need to throw away anything that you're already comfortable with. It's just an ushering and an introduction into something else that you're going to end up feeling just as, if not more comfortable with.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
I must say, because we are almost exactly at the halfway point, a little bit after the quarter to the hour, and you are listening to the Cosmic Hand, Randy Bruner, on It's About Time, being brought to you on the Jewel Network via Blog Talk Radio. And I have another question. I'm sure that there are going to be some people that are interested in finding out about their galactic signatures based on their birthday. I would really like to know, if you don't mind, what is the significance of the galactic signature, and how does that work, I won't say as opposed to, but versus the notion of the solar birthday that many of us celebrate and recognize now?
Well, actually, it has a dual aspect. You know, it doesn't take away from your solar birthday at all. In other words, yeah, when that date comes back around, you've made one spin around the sun. You know, that's not going to change. Adding your galactic signature to that information is kind of like having another birthday every year. And in fact, in some years, you'll have more than one, because in the turning of the sacred calendar, there's only 260 days. And so within the cycle of the 365 days, you may find that your actual galactic signature comes up more than once during the year. And the interesting thing about it is that when you go through your life living by your galactic signature, in other words, each year when your solar birthday comes around, it will not be your galactic signature. Okay, it'll be a different one. And that means for that particular year, you get a different galactic signature energy. Now, you were born as one, okay, but then as you come through, you get another one for each year. So you work with a particular energy from your solar birthday, and you still get your galactic signature because it's going to come up during that year as well. So it's actually more like your birthday than your actual birthday, because it's your energy day. It's the day that you were born energetically, and then when it comes back around again, it's literally is more like your birthday than your birthday, because your energy is coming back around again. Now, the cool thing about that is when you turn 52, your galactic signature is on your solar birthday again. In other words, it takes you going all the way through your life to 52 for it to come back again on your birthday, on your solar birthday. And so what that infers is that you're born again as an elder.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's something hopefully we get a chance to experience 9, 10, 15 times. I hope.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, with our immortality process, yeah, we'll be experiencing that over and over again. Yeah, so that's the beauty of the galactic signature. And like I say, take the opportunity to celebrate it. When it comes up, it's another version of your birthday. You know?
I thought that notion was really exciting because, you know, there are different aspects of I guess in the terms of astrology. You have the 12 symbol throughout the year astrological concepts. You have the Chinese zodiac concepts. So there are different energies that different cultures recognize. And when you start to consider the notion of this galactic signature, it really gives you an even more detailed sketch as to the person that you are on so many different levels, on a solar level, on a galactic level, on just about any level you can think of.
Exactly.
It really starts to become a blueprint for someone.
Exactly. That's a beautiful way to look at that. And I will add that the 13-moon, 28-day calendar that we have and that we're looking at the electric moon of now, that is actually Mayan astrology. In other words, they had 13 signs, and they divided the sky up into 13 rather than into 12. And in fact, if you're an astronomer or into astronomy at all, you should know that there are 13 zodiac signs across the ecliptic, and that one of those signs was eliminated in order to make it neatly fit into 12.
Exactly.
And the sign that was eliminated is Ophiuchus, which is actually between Scorpio and Sagittarius. Which, of course, if you're into astronomy, you can look out and see Scorpio and Sagittarius and Ophiuchus going down right after the sunset any time now, because that's the time of year we're in. And so when we created this calendar, when Dr. Arguelles determined the dates and set up the initial determination of the calendar, it was entirely based on 13 moon, 28 day, 13 sign astrology. In other words, with their particular system, they determined that for 28 days the sun stayed in a particular sign instead of for 30 days, which is what the 12, the zodiac, astrology zodiac has. So, anyway, information about Ophiuchus is that Ophiuchus is the serpent handler, okay? And the serpent handler, in ancient cosmology, the serpent was not bad, okay? It was associated with wisdom. The power of the serpent was associated with wisdom, which is why you would see the twin entwined serpents on the caduceus, which is the symbol of doctors, you know, because they had knowledge, they had wisdom, and they were able to utilize it for the healing of people. And so the serpent was not a bad thing until Christianity came along, and Christianity made the serpent bad. Well, the Ophiuchus and the serpent handler predates Christianity. In other words, the serpent handler is someone who is able to utilize wisdom and knowledge. Okay, so it stands between the Scorpio, which has the ability to reach to the depths of inner knowledge, and Sagittarius, which is the ability to shoot for the highest possibility utilizing that knowledge. But if you're unable to handle the knowledge, then you can't get from one to the other. And having eliminated Ophiuchus eliminated the ability for people to handle knowledge and eliminated the capability of people to go within to find answers and to express that out to its highest potential in Sagittarius. And so what moon in our system was eliminated was the overtone moon. And the overtone moon is the moon of empowerment. So what they eliminated when they created the 12 sign system was the ability for people to handle wisdom and to be empowered. And I think that was a plot or an early version of conspiracy type thing. They took people's power away and took people's power to utilize wisdom away and gave it away to the government and to the church. So people now have to turn to the government and turn to the church to be empowered rather than finding the ability to be empowered from within. And so that's why having the 13 zodiac signs, having the 13 moon calendar as a function of that, this is Mayan astrology. And it gives you a galactic perspective, not just a solar system perspective. I mean, one of our other shows, we had talked about how deep the knowledge of space goes with the Maya. And with their 260 being the basis of their sacred calendar, if you multiply that out times 1,000, or in other words, make 1,000 years one segment of the 260, you get 260,000 years. That's an age in the sort of geologic time frame. But if you look out into our galaxy, 26,000 years is also a function of 260, and it's the time it takes our solar system to go one time around the Pleiades. And so we have a small segment of our galaxy where we are actually moving around within that, and then us and the Pleiades are all moving around the galaxy itself, and that takes 260 million years, another 260. Okay, the Maya knew that our solar system moves around the Pleiades within our galaxy. They knew that us and the Pleiades all moved around the galaxy in also 260 million years. And so they knew the size of the galaxy. In fact, they named the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy Hunab-Ku. And the Hunab-Ku was referred to by the Maya as, quote-unquote, the giver of movement and measure. The giver of movement and measure. And what does the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy do? It determines, number one, how fast the galaxy turns. Number two, how big the galaxy is. The giver of movement and measure. So the Maya knew there was a supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy that determined how big the galaxy was and how fast it's going to turn. They knew that it takes us 260 million years to go around there, and then we're going around the Pleiades in 26,000 years. Now, what else is 26,000 years that we can think of? Well, the time that Homo sapiens have been alive is exactly 26,000 years. We became the current species that we are 26,000 years ago. In other words, one spin around the Pleiades, and we're a complete species. I mean, our species started, we've made one complete cycle around the Pleiades in that time. Also, it's referred to as the Great Year by some of the ancient traditions, and it's also connected to the astrology in the ages of the astrology. That was divided up 26,000 years as well. So there's lots and lots of information that the Maya had that we're just beginning to fathom.
Wow. That is amazing. Because, well, what is being right at the top of the hour for those that are just coming in, you are listening to It's About Time. I have to make sure. You are on time. And you're listening to It's About Time on the Dual Network, just by me, Intending with Enlightened Living. And you are listening to your host, Randy Cosmic Hand Bruner. And I am the humble co-host, Maurice Thompson. And we have been talking about the Mayan calendar and the implications and the impact that it has not only on individuals, but on all of humanity, and especially in this point in time that we find ourselves dealing with. In the past couple of weeks, Randy, there were a couple people that were calling and that were very, very much both inquiring about this whole notion of 2012. Because, you know, of course, as you know, there's been a lot of media hubbub and calamity and, quite frankly, a lot of miseducation.
Oh, wow.
About the upcoming events and circumstances that we're coming up to within the next couple of years. So, could you share a little bit about what 2012 means in the world of the Maya and in the concept and in the structure of this calendar?
Well, that's a good point. There is a lot of hype about it, you know, in that movie that came out, all destruction and, all that negative stuff. I mean, end of world stuff comes up. It seems like, every 1,000 years moves through, end of world stuff seems to come up. You know, it happened at AD 1000. You know, it's happening at AD 2000. You know, the big Y2K thing, and, you know, having this 2012 date, you know, so close to the, 2000 AD time frame. But it's just prophecies from old that people keep updating and bringing up. But the reality is, with the Maya, that 2012 is the ending of what they refer to, or what we refer to, as the long count. I don't know what the Maya referred to the long count as, but that's what the archaeologists refer to it as today. And so, it's the end of the long count. But if you're familiar with the Mayan calendar, there is no end or beginning. Okay, that's the fallacy of linear time thinking. Okay, linear time thinking says we're in the now, and there's been something before, and there's going to be something afterwards. But we can only know what's happened before; we can't know what's happening ahead. That's linear time in a nutshell. And linear time is what we're living under, that we don't have a concept of what the future may bring. We can only look back to the past. So when you deal with linear time, you think endings and beginnings. But the truth is, for the Maya, their time concept was cyclical, and that the 260-day calendar is a version of that. In other words, there's no end and beginning. There's just dragon, wind, night, seed, and so on. You know, and one, or actually, magnetic, lunar, electric tones. There's no ones. There's no beginnings and endings in any of that. It just starts over again, turning and turning. What we've done by linearizing it in this grid that we were talking about on the PhotonNet site, and by laying it out in a linear calendar fashion, is actually slightly doing a disservice to the concept of time that the Maya had, because they did everything in a circle or a cycle. And while we've understood more about it, looking at it in a linear fashion, that doesn't mean it's linear. It's not linear. It's cyclical. And so at the end, which is what we've determined by our linear time reckoning, it's not the end to the Maya. 2012 is not the end to the Maya. It is a new beginning. And what happens is their long count is 5,125 years, or 5,200 tunes, which is their version of the year. Excuse me. So 5,125 years is how long this long count has been going on. So it was basically 3113 BC up to 2012 AD. And the scientists have all figured this out. Archaeologists have all figured this out. And I think it's important to recognize that we're looking at it from a perspective that is linear, and it's not linear in itself. Okay, and looking at it in a linear fashion is a mistake, and I think adding to the mistake is the fear-based paradigm that says, you know, we're going to all be destroyed by the apocalypse or the coming of reappearance of the Christ or those kind of things. So I don't think there's anything to fear about 2012, let's put it that way.
Oh, good. And just for everyone to keep in mind that your mind is the most powerful attractor of energy ever known to man. So If you see comets and meteors crashing down and becoming your peril, it will come to your doorstep at your breakfast table while everybody else is enjoying their day. So don't put it out there if that's not what you want. This is a grand opportunity to put the knowledge of this power to free yourself from that confine of linear thinking, from that artificial time thinking that there's a beginning and an end, and it really puts you in the opportunity of now to make what you really want to see happen. Without, like I said, with only knowing but so much, being able to hear what you've been graciously sharing, I would imagine that's what that empty space is, metaphorically speaking. It's that,
exactly, that
opportunity to make it what you want it to be.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I have, the way I like to put it to people is 2012 is the end of a cycle and the beginning of a new cycle. And when we're talking about cyclical time from the perspective of the Maya, every time the cycle goes around, it doesn't start over again. It moves up to another level. Okay? We're talking about people who understood excuse me, the concept of the galaxy, you know, the movement of the Earth around the galaxy. Well, if you understand that, you also understand that when the Earth moves around the Sun, okay, it doesn't come back to the same place in space, because the Earth and the solar system are moving around the Pleiades, and the whole thing is moving around the galaxy. So we're not coming back to the same place, even though we've gone around the Sun once in a year and the stars behind it all kind of look the same. But in truth, we're coming back to a different place in space. Okay, and that's what they're saying. Every time the cycle goes around, you have the opportunity to go up another step. And I think that's what 2012 is really about, is the ability for us as a species and the planet to take a step up to a higher level. And the reality for me is that those who believe in the power of ascension and the power of growth and development beyond where we are, that's what we're going to get. And like you said, the people who believe in destruction, well, that's maybe what they're going to get. I mean, it's going to come up to what you believe in at 2012. And I would say then that this is effectively Judgment Day. But you're not being judged by a God that's outside yourself. You're judging yourself by what you believe when this time comes.
Wow. Well, I hope that lays it out, and I hope that it gets spread across the sky for everyone to hear that. And for those of you that are hearing it, you tell your friends to keep coming back and to keep checking out. It's about time, because the Fuel Network is the home of your realignment process, from aspect of understanding how the sciences of within and seemingly without, it's all connected, but for lack of a better term, to see what's going on in the celestial heavens and understand that it's resonating within you, is probably one of the greatest gifts that anybody can be given. So.
Exactly, and here's a culture that was quote unquote Stone Age that knew this kind of stuff. Okay. What I mean by Stone Age is when they were found or discovered, I think that's funny too, when we say someone is discovered by the Europeans, they were already there. What do you mean they were discovered? You know, anyway, that's a whole other subject. When the Spaniards came, the culture that they conquered was the Aztecs. The Maya were already pretty much long gone by the time the Spaniards came. But what they found was, here's a culture who didn't use the wheel, even though they knew about it, they didn't use it. And they didn't use metal other than to make things out of gold. You know, they made gold amulets and put gold on their walls and, you know, that kind of thing. But they had gold smithing, but they didn't use metal in any other way. And here they came with armor and weapons and all that, and basically ran, you know, right over, you know, this quote-unquote Stone Age culture. But, you know, this Stone Age culture knew stuff about time that we're not even aware of today. Because the reality is, the Spaniards wanted to wipe out anyone's concepts that were not Christian. They burned all the books. The Aztec says, oh, we learned all this stuff from the Maya in these books. And so they said, oh, well, this is evil, so, you know, work of the devil or heathen or whatever, so we got to burn it. And so they burned all the books. There's a very real possibility that all the information about time, our place in the galaxy, what the purpose of humanity is, was all written down for us by the Maya. And thanks to the church and thanks to the Spaniards in particular, we don't have it. All we have left is what the Maya carved in stone. And luckily they didn't deface that, because most of the Maya cities were already reclaimed by the jungle by the time the Spaniards got there. So when the Spaniards conquered the Aztecs, most of the Maya cities were completely unknown. The Maya cities that we know of today were not even quote-unquote discovered until the mid-1800s. So, I mean, they had brought out the books and kept them with the Aztecs, but, you know, my hope, of course, is that we'll find a book repository in one of the ancient Maya cities that are still being uncovered by the archaeologists. I'm holding out for that in that, you know, we may still find some written information from them. But there was a massive book burning, and everything that we knew of got burned, you know. Not a good thing. Not a good thing.
That is one of those imperialistic...
Oh, absolutely. Totally imperialistic. And it happened to Egypt, too. I mean, the Library of Alexandria, where all of the ancient Greek and all the information from, you know, prior to the Egyptian culture was housed, and that was all burned by Rome. So essentially Rome, you know, I mean, the Spaniards acted on behalf of Rome, you know, when they came and took over the other countries. So anyway, that's a very strange twist of everything. Well, we're quarter after. We got 15 minutes left. Some people have expressed interest in calling in, giving their galactic signatures, or if you're in the chat room, feel free to pop in your birthday and get your galactic signature if you'd like. Or how about you, Maurice? Have you gotten your galactic signature?
I would love to get my galactic signature.
Oh, cool. Well, let's go ahead and do you first, then.
What's your date of birth? August 21st, and the year is 1979.
August 21st, 1979. All right. Yellow Cosmic Sun. That's your galactic signature. You're a cosmic sun. I'm a cosmic hand. We're actually one wave spell apart from each other. My 13 is the next to the last 13, and yours is the last 13. In other words, when you look at that grid we were talking about on photon.net, you're in the lower right-hand corner. Yellow cosmic sun. So in our linear determination of things, that's the last placement in the 260. It's kin number 260.
Oh, wow.
So after you, it starts over again with red magnetic dragon. So, yeah, you're also a galactic activation portal. So, yeah, I endure in order to enlighten. Transcending life, I seal the matrix of universal fire with the cosmic tone of presence. I'm guided by the power of flowering. I am a galactic activation portal. Enter me. So, yeah, that's you. That's your essence. Now, the cosmic tone is an interesting one because that endure, that word endure, is hard for people sometimes because people think, oh, endure means I have to go through something or you know, pay up or, you know, endure implies difficulty or, you know, something like that. But in truth, it's not that at all. It's not having to endure. Endure is enduring. In other words, it lasts forever. That's the power of the cosmic tone. The power of the cosmic tone is to last forever. It sort of overrides or overviews, I suppose, all of the other of the 13 tones. So it's not about, oh, you have to endure this or you have to go through that or it's a problem here or a problem there. It's just about lasting forever. To endure is to continue, to go on, to last forever. So I last forever in order to enlighten. So your work is, the power of the sun is, of course, to enlighten. You know, so what a beautiful concept. I endure in order to That's what you're here for. And then transcending life, you know, getting beyond every day, you know, transcending life, that seal the matrix of universal fire. And universal fire is masculine, okay? The power of the sun is masculine, and that fire energy is masculine. I seal the matrix of universal fire with the cosmic tone of presence. And then I'm guided by the power of flowering, which is the power of the seed. And the power of the seed is to contain all of the information necessary to grow whatever the seed is a seed of, you see. So I'm guided by the power of flowering. And then I am a galactic activation portal, enter me. What that means is when you're born as a galactic activation portal, you are an open doorway, meaning that other people can be activated by you. In other words, the admonition to enter me is to say, I'm an open door. Here's your opportunity to step through into a larger world. And for me, it's just a lot of fun to be working with a person who's a galactic activation portal, much less the cosmic sun. And the cosmic sun is, Albert Einstein. It was cosmic sun.
Wow, that is something. I'm not over. Like I said, there are a couple of hands that can use something like that. I'm sure. But we've got 8 minutes, and I'd rather not harp on me for 8. So let us, if you're ready, we can go right ahead and see what's going on. We have 2 callers as of right now.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead. Sure.
Great. I have one that is area code 615.
Hello, Randy.
Yeah.
Hey, Maurice. I just had a question when you were talking about the 26,000 years of the great year, the procession or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Did the Mayans also have a name for those ages or whatever, or were they based on those signs as well?
Actually, no, they weren't, because what they used was the long count. Okay, they used the long count, and the long count is a function of the 260-day cycle. In other words, the 260-day cycle is the small version of the long count. In other words, their system was 5,125 years instead of, like in astrology, the age is like 2,125 or something like that, approximately.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they utilized was their long count, which was 5,125 years. So there's only 5 of those in the 26,000-year cycle.
Okay.
Instead of it being divided up into 12, like the, 26,000-year cycle is divided up by 12 to make the astrological ages. But they divided it up by 5. To make the long counts, and we are only at the last of those 5 in that particular series of long counts. Like I said, technically, if you took the 5 segments of the long count, counting this one that's about to end, and going backwards through 5 versions of the long count, that's when Homo sapiens were seeded on this planet.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a different system, basically. But it doesn't invalidate anything. It just gives more information. You see what I mean? We're not saying the other system is wrong. We're just saying the other system is incomplete. And so we're adding to the information that's already available.
Yeah, I was just trying to get a better understanding, because just when you're talking about ages and the whole 2012 concept, the way that I look at it is exactly as like an age or whatever, like, you know, if, you know, the end of a, whereas in zodiac or whatever, the end of the Piscean age or whatever, we're moving into the age of Aquarius. So I thought maybe, like, you know, the Mayans had something like that to, like, you know, along those lines too, just to, for people to notice like there's a shift in consciousness, because that basically just happening then.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you're right as far as that goes. In other words, each version of the long count, you know, had to do with that. And one of the interesting things about the Maya, too, is that, you know, when the Maya culture was around, it wasn't around in 3113 B.C. You know, it didn't really essentially start until around 280. And with 280, you know, then we had some, you know, they had backdating to do. In other words, when they determined the beginning of their long count, they counted back to 3113 to start their long count.
Wow.
And so they had the concepts of that huge time frame and said, oh, well, we're in this age, and so we go back to 3113, and then that brings us up to 2012 at the end of this. So they knew all of that. You know, they only appeared in the middle of the end process for the Homo sapiens.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So basically they were pinpointing themselves in a specific part of the whole 5,000-year period that you're talking about here.
Exactly, exactly. And if you look back to 3113 B.C., you could say, well, that is essentially the beginning of the Egyptian culture. And,
yes.
You know, so they knew, I mean, I'm not saying they knew about the Egyptian culture, but they may have, you know.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it still points to a period of, you know, a shift or a seeding of consciousness on a different level. You know, 26,000 years ago was the beginning of Homo sapiens, and, you know, 5,000 years ago was the beginning of culture, per se, that we know of today. I mean, there possibly was other cultures before the culture we know of today, but that's a topic for another show.
So thank you very much. We've got a couple minutes left, and we want to make sure that we have one more caller that I think we can squeeze in.
Okay,
area code 678. Hello.
Hi, how are you? My birthday is 10-5-59.
I'm sorry? Give it to me again.
10-5-59.
10-5-1959. Okay. You are red crystal serpent. I dedicate in order to survive. Universalizing instinct, I seal the store of life force with the crystal tone of cooperation. I'm guided by the power of navigation. And the serpent, of course, instinct is the serpent thing. You know, and I dedicate in order to survive. You survive by universalizing instinct. And by universalizing instinct, you can seal the store of life force, which is another aspect of instinct, is to survive life force, with the crystal tone of cooperation. So the power of the crystal tone is cooperation, dedication, and universalizing. And the power of the serpent is to survive by instinct and preserve the life force. And so then you're guided by the power of navigation, which is the ability to see how to go here and go there.
Mm.
So there you go, red crystal serpent.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling in. We appreciate your interest.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you. All right, we have about 50 seconds left, so
cool.
This has been an amazing 90 minutes, I must tell you.
Well, thanks, Maurice, for helping me out. It's really great to work with you, and I look forward to many more wonderful exchanges. Thanks to everyone who came into the chat room, everyone who listened on the phone or listened on the Internet. We love having you in here. thanks for supporting us, and tell everybody I'm back. Call your buds and tell them I'm back.
So we will see everybody next week.
All right, thanks, brother.
All right, take care, y'all. Peace.